Good evening once again. Glad always to see you here. I know that it requires effort, and I know that there's all kinds of reasons to make excuses. We could all do that. We could say it was too cold today or too windy or too snowy, but we don't. We persevere and we come out of our love for one another and, of course, out of our love for God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like to spend a little time this evening, Lord willing. I want to talk about some things that Jesus did not know. And I don't want you to be mistaken about this. If you want to turn over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 46, I want to make it perfectly clear what I really mean by the things that Jesus did not know. In Isaiah chapter 46, at verses 8 through 10, we read these words about our God. In verse 8, we read, "Remember this and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand." When we think about God, we realize that God is omnipotent. We know that for a fact. We know that He's all-powerful, that He has created all things, and we glory in that as we look around the things that are made. We also know that He's omnipresent. We understand that He's always with us, that, He's not going to leave us nor forsake us. His eyes roam about the earth. He knows what's going on. And we also know that He's omniscient, which tells us that He knows pretty much everything there is to know. And so when I make the statement that there's things that Jesus did not know, I wasn't trying in any way, shape, or form to take some of the greatness of God and our Christ away. But what we want to look at and understand before we get into that is that He knew everything. In John chapter 13:11, He knew that He was going to be betrayed by Judas. We know that in John chapter 2:25, that He had no need that anyone should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. So He knows everything about us, the insides and outsides. And in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25, we read, "But Jesus knew their thoughts." It's not saying that they told Him things and He remembered what they said. It's saying that He knew their thoughts, the things that they were thinking unspoken to Him. And so that's who Jesus is. But one of the things that Jesus knew nothing about was sin. Not that He didn't understand sin, but He knew no sin. We read in 2 Corinthians what Paul said, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." So we understand Jesus knew no sin. He never committed any sin. He was our high priest, the Hebrew writer says. He was our high priest, the one without sin. In fact, He never gave in to any temptation. Jesus was tempted in all points the same as we are, but He never gave in to any temptation at all. You think about Matthew chapter 4 and verses 1 through 11, where Jesus was tempted by that devil. And as you think about that episode, you realize that that devil used every trick he could to cause Jesus to sin against His Father, God. And Jesus never sinned. He wasn't tempted to to look out and see all the world and all the kingdoms of the world, and that he might somehow receive those from that devil. He wasn't tempted to jump off of the temple. Jesus never gave in to sin. He never gave in to temptation. And Jesus, according to what we read in Hebrews chapter 7, he was harmless. That word harmless means pure. He was undefiled, separate from sinners. Jesus was fully God and fully man on the earth. He had the power. He had the understanding. He had the knowledge. But what he didn't do was sin. He knew no sin. And another thing, Jesus, when we think about his return, Jesus did not know when he was going to return. He didn't know that. Only the Father did. We understand that scripture. And as we look at this, it seems like there's a lot of people out there who claim that they knew that Jesus, when he was coming back. You look at this list scrolling, starting in the year 500, and it's going quick. John Wesley, Joseph Morris, Charles Taz Russell, and then later, the Jehovah Witnesses Church. All making predictions about when Jesus is going to come back. And that's certainly not the end of the list. Jack Van Empe. And you notice Harold Camping, as we look at this, they made multiple predictions. Ronald Whelan, multiple predictions. He said he was going to come back in September 29th, 2011. And that didn't happen. So on May 27th, of 2012, it didn't happen. So again, May 18th of 2013, over and over and over, these men made predictions of the coming of the Lord. And then they didn't stop there. They continued. More and more predictions. Jerry Falwell, Harry Camping, Hal Lindsey, Herbert W. Armstrong, 1935, 1937, 1952, and he made four predictions and none of them came true. And they're not done with these predictions. We got one that's set for 2025, 2028, 2029, 2057, and guess who? 2060, Isaac Newton. Everybody thought they knew when, but Jesus himself said he didn't even know. Only the Father in heaven knew the day or the hour of the return of the Lord. And we look at Matthew chapter 24 where people get all confused and they think that has something to do with the coming of Christ and him setting up a kingdom upon the earth, and we know that's not true. Jesus never said any such thing. He was talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, not the coming, a second coming of Christ and a kingdom being set up. And we really know that because in the chapter 24 and the 34th verse, he tells the people that in their generation will be able to see what he was talking about. There would still be people alive to see what he was talking about. So again, no kingdom literal on the earth. Here's one that might be a little confusing. Jesus does not know a person he did not die for. He doesn't know a person that he did not die for. You think about what I'm trying to say. I hope you get it. That when he died for all. He tasted death for everyone. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for my children that weren't born yet. He died for my grandchildren. And Lord willing, they'll grow and they'll have children and I'll have great-grandchildren. And Jesus knows them. From Adam and Eve until all of us today on the earth, Jesus knows every single soul. And he died for every single soul. The Hebrew writer writes, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Jesus didn't taste death just for good people. He tasted death for every one of the people on this earth. And I think that's really important. He does not know a person he didn't die for. And he died for our sins. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, Paul says. So it's written. All the way from the Old Testament to the New Testament, that's what he did. He died for our sins. And we understand that through Adam, sin entered the world and all men were guilty of sin. But through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, Paul says. Therefore, as one man's offense and judgment came upon all, resulting in condemnation. And so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all, resulting in justification to life. Jesus died for all people. And the question that we always ask people is, you then must obey and receive that gift. He died for you, but that gift that he gives you, that eternal life, that justification through one man's obedience, he made sinners also, one man's obedience made people righteous. And he died for all. But in order to receive that gift, having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation, the Hebrew writer says, to all who obey him. And so, Jesus, you know, there isn't anybody at all that he didn't know. From probably before the earth was formed until this very day, he died for you. He died for me. He died for everyone in the whole world. And the hope is that they would obey him and receive that free gift. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, you know, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not the things that I ask? And so we need to make sure we're right with God. Jesus did not know about coming to the earth and setting up his kingdom. He didn't know about that. What he knew is the kingdom was already here. Jesus in Matthew 16, we're all familiar with that when he's talking to Peter, and Peter makes that great confession that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus hears those words and he says, upon this rock I will build my church. We understand that. He built his church back then. It was being established through the apostles on the day of Pentecost. That church came into being upon the earth. And when we think about that, remember that Jesus Christ, he's not, you know, we're not without a head. We're not without a king. We're not without somebody reigning on our behalf. I spelt that wrong, didn't I? Or he is reigning, rather, from heaven. We read that. He's sitting at the right hand of God. He didn't know that there was going to be another kingdom set up. He didn't know he had to come back here and set up a second kingdom. What we do know is that because of what Paul wrote in Colossians 1 and 13, that those who have obeyed the gospel of Christ were conveyed or translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love. It's already here. And so he didn't know about coming and setting up his kingdom. It's already here. And the question is, will we be in that kingdom? Jesus didn't know about establishing other kingdoms either. He didn't realize that there's going to be 32,000 plus kingdoms, 32,000 plus churches. We read in Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds. And it was the Lord who built the house, his kingdom. It wasn't any man. He is the only builder. for his kingdom. Again, Matthew 16:18, he said, I will build my church. He didn't say churches. We've all heard that many times. But Jesus, you know, and when I understand that Jesus knows all things, that he saw the future, he realized all this was going to happen, but he didn't know that we all expected him to come back and set that up. And he also knew that the church would bear his name. And the only way the members, people could be added to the church, the only way that that could happen was by the hand of God. We realize it was those people who obeyed the gospel, who believed what Peter preached about Jesus. On that day of Pentecost, 3,000 of those souls were added to the church by the powerful hand of God. And we also know that Jesus purchased his church with his blood. Nobody else's church was purchased with his blood. Only the church of Christ. And also what Jesus didn't know is that there's more than one way to heaven. He didn't know that because there isn't more than one way to heaven. We know in John 14:6 how Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. If we want to see heaven one day, it has to be through Jesus. He's the one that left and prepared a place for us. He's the one that promised to come back and take us home. Jesus, you know, we have to be called by the gospel. That's what Paul wrote, to which he called you by our gospel, the obtaining of glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to hear the word of God. We have to be called by that gospel. And we also understand that Jesus is the door. He says, I am the door. Right, we have a lot of doors in this building. And if I were to pick out one specific door and say that's the door, that excludes all other doors. We know that Jesus is the only way to heaven, and we have to go through him. He is the door to eternal life. He says, I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. And he talks about the thief who comes, and he only comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But the door, Jesus came so that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And so there are no other ways that he knew of, and we should be careful not to teach any other way. And also, Paul wrote that there is only one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Well, and you gotta reason that out. If there's only one mediator between us and God, that's Jesus, then we shouldn't be looking to any other. People in the world are looking to a lot of different gods, but we know better. Jesus is the door. We think about things that God can't do. He can't tell us one thing and do another. God can't commit sin of any kind. But if you think about these things, you realize that it's more of what Jesus would rather men not do. And one of those things that he would rather we not do is ignore his call. Ignore his invitation. The invitation to be saved and the invitation to take part of his blood. And also part of that invitation is he said, come unto me all ye that are weary and heavily laden, and I will give you rest. And so if you have a need, you don't want to wait. You want to make that known now, and the church is here to help. If you have that need, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.